Hi, Arista team talk. I'm Josh Sexton, Jurgen Klopp. Hash has held his pre-Chelsea press conference, his pre-Premier League trophy lift press conference, and joining me to react to that are Gareth Roberts, Fuad Hassan, and Ian Ryan. He talks about the emotions of tomorrow and everything that's to come with that. He talks about our recent form as well. We're going to come up with the teams, our teams, and a few predictions for the game and things like that later on as well. But Gareth, just to start, in terms of the emotions of tomorrow, I think we've talked about the whole time how it sort of shows, I think, that these 30 years of hurt, if you want to call them that, but you know, just how long the wait has been for a league title. I think it's shown on these players and this manager, and I think that shows in, you know, Klopp coming out himself and saying in a professional sense it's going to be one of the greatest days of his life. I think that tells you the story about how much they felt the pressure of it.
Yeah, you've seen that, haven't you? I mean, you know, Jordan Henderson and Jürgen have both broken down in live TV interviews and things like that. So that shows you how much, you know, they've personally put into it. But I also liked when he was saying about, you know, seeing the reactions from Kenny and from Graham Souness and things like that. You know, we like to say as fans, obviously, that, you know, that the club is huge, that it means so much, that, you know, it's so much more than just a football team and so much more than just the stadium and the grounds and all that kind of thing. We pin loads of emotions at the club. And it's good when you see, you know, people who work for the club, managers, players, etc., you know, feeling the same way, really. You know, they're not just passing through. It's not just sort of a job for them. I think it is, or it has been in the past for certain figures, both managers or manager, in the case of Roy, and players who've passed through at times where you do think, you know, they've just come for the money, they've just come for the buck, and they're not particularly bothered either way. I think Jürgen, what he's done brilliantly at Liverpool is get everyone emotionally invested in it. And obviously the other side of that is that you get a bit of an outpouring, and I think you saw that. And, you know, the way he talked about it again today was brilliant. I thought it was a weird press conference in a way, in that, like, you know, hardly discussed the football, hardly discussed the actual match, hardly discussed, you know, who might play for Liverpool and that kind of stuff. And I think that tells you everything you need to know, that, you know, it is kind of overshadowed by the fact that, you know, after 3 decades of waiting, we finally see a Liverpool captain with the trophy in his hands. And, you know, some people I've seen, like, sort of mocking and saying, you know, Liverpool building this plinth or whatever, and why are they doing that, and blah, 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 blah. I'm into it. It's a big fucking deal. Let's make it a big fucking deal. I've ordered the programme and everything. And, like, you know, just because I want it. Like, I'm hoping it's going to come tomorrow morning. Like, you know, like, it can be like Christmas Day. Like, that's the first thing I open that gets me on the edge and gets me going. And then in the night, you know, get to go to the pub, watch the game, and see that big moment. And, you know, of course, it's a bit of a shame that we can't be there. But, you know, we're saying on Talking Reds before, I think you either talk about what it's not or you talk about what it is. And I'd rather talk about what it is. And it still is that big, big moment of Liverpool finally winning the league, finally getting it off our back, finally going from 18 to 19, finally saying to the world that, you know, we're back as a football superpower, because we are. That's why we've won all these trophies. And, you know, there's the faint hum of negativity that there always is from certain quarters, but I'm not interested in it. I'm really not, because, you know, I've waited literally 3 decades. I've been the match in every one of those decades, and this is what I've dreamed of all of this time, Liverpool to be league champions. We've done it. We've absolutely pissed it. You know, people keep talking about when it was won. We're going to be making a video about that, I think, very soon, where we're talking about some of the big moments in the season when we thought it was won. Me and Ian were at Villa. Felt like it was won then. Other people said it was, you know, felt like it was won Boxing Day. You know, we've had a long time to accept, and so has everyone else, that Liverpool have been far and away the best team in the league this season and fully deserve to win it. And I just hope that, you know, we can put the cherry on top and beat Chelsea as well tomorrow night. But, you know, all it's about for me, though, is that moment, that big, big moment when we get to see Jordan with the big trophy in his hands wrapped up in red, just like we dreamt of.
Yeah, Fuad, Gareth mentions there that there wasn't much sort of chat about the game in the press conference, and Jurgen said early on, look, it's not the easiest game to prepare for because we usually only have to focus on the game, whereas tomorrow night you obviously got to sort of focus on the celebrations and all that brings as well. And that's quite interesting really, because you've seen these players all season, you know, really, really commit to every game mentally, but now they're getting the rewards and they're only human beings at the end of the day, so you've got to think that they're going into this thinking, well, I know there's a football match to play, but after that we get to lift the thing.
Yeah, exactly, definitely. And you know, everything Gareth just said there about the whole 30 years and everything, it's, you know, it's all completely true. And if you're looking kind of more the short term and the last couple of years, you know, this league title win is essentially, you know, 2 years of league championship form for this team. And to have the disappointment of not winning it last year, where they, you know, 9 times out of 10 they do win it, I think it's kind of added up probably into this season as well, because they've maintained that level of form for so long. And you know, for them not to have, you know, if we were in, you know, different circumstances or whatever, and they weren't able to have this kind of celebration of it, it would be a big shame for them. And I think, you know, the manager knows how important it is to be able to celebrate these things, not just for himself, but it's for the whole group. It's for how they move going forward, because, you know, it almost kind of draws a line under it. And you know, he's been kind of key to mention that this isn't the end. You know, this is the first league of many, hopefully, from now on till the end of his time here. And yeah, the whole kind of, I think he's the only one that I've really seen that's been able to kind of handle the whole baggage kind of attached with the club and the history and everything. And one thing I quite liked a line from where he mentioned the press conference about, you know, the messages he had with the likes of Gerrard and Carragher, because they know what this team has done. They know how big of a challenge it was, the pressure and all that comes with it. You know, that there comes a point in the season, you know, when Liverpool, you know, do look like they're going to win the league, that you know, it can be easy. We've seen other teams do it in the past where there can be that wobble and suddenly everything kind of looks a little bit iffy, but that didn't happen this year. You know, it's the first time Klopp said that he thought that the title was won before lockdown. I don't think I've heard him say that before. So I think everyone involved knows that, you know, the scale of the achievement and to be able to celebrate it, you know, it's almost like the game kind of takes care of itself. If there's 50,000 people in there having an absolute, you know, it would have been like a carnival atmosphere for the game, and the game sort of kind of takes care of itself. But I think the manager knows a little bit that, you know, the fact that the fans aren't there, that people don't have that shared moment in the stadium, that there is going to be a little bit more kind of, not pressure in the game at all, but, you know, there's going to be a bit more of an eye on it, and to win it and then go into that celebration would just be the perfect kind of way of doing it. And it sort of just keeps the mood really, really high. And you know, it shouldn't be down even if we do lose the game. But I think it's a nice bonus for the manager, especially with the recent results. You know, all the questions kind of go away, I think, with the form that this Liverpool team is in, even though it's, you know, it's nothing really to look into. But yeah, all in all, I think it's going to be one of those nights that everyone will remember for the rest of their lives. And even though we're not there to share it with them, it's still going to be up there as one of the best for everyone.
Yeah, Ernie and Fuad and Gareth both referenced the history there, and it's been nice sort of seeing the reports that Kane Dalglish is going to be involved in the presentation party and things like that. He's obviously going to be there present. Jurgen mentions that in his press conference, and that sort of feels important because it does feel like that passing of the guard from this thing that we always just considered as you know like a foregone thing, that Kane Dalglish lifted the league title with Liverpool in 1990. Liverpool haven't done it since then. It feels like he's now sort of passing on to the new guard of this Liverpool team, which can hopefully go on and create a dynasty now.
Yeah, 100%. I think what's kind of, I suppose, got me in the last few weeks is just how maybe close Kenny and Jurgen are. I mean, you always kind of maybe think he might be and maybe want them to be, but I think it's become quite obvious just through, you know, the last 2-3 months, certainly when the league was clinched, you can tell there's a bond between the two of them. And I think you've summed it up really well there, kind of, you know, handing over to the guard, I suppose. And, you know, yeah, Kenny was the last person to kind of take us to the title. And, you know, I've said it on other shows, you wouldn't have dreamt it would have taken 30 years. I think I mentioned it on the Pink after the show when we clinched it, when we weren't actually playing, and City and Chelsea had obviously played. And even that day, I mean, I was a young kid, but, you couldn't even imagine that it was going to take 30 years to get back to where Liverpool had been so many, many times through the 70s and 80s. And it was almost, you clapped them off, and it was, I'll see it again next year, because this is what this football club does. It goes and wins league titles. But it's taken an awful long time to get to number 19. And there's been some truly world-class managers who had a go at this, by the way. You know, Benitez, it was an outstanding manager, and he came closer. Maybe with different backing, different owners, maybe he gets there. In fact, I'm almost certain he does get there. You know, Julio's probably a little bit underrated, I think, in terms of his time. You know, he gave Liverpool some brilliant seasons. And again, he gets pretty close, but he can't quite do it. And it's taken someone like Jürgen Klopp to come in and get us over the line. And I think it was always going to take a special personality and a special person to probably make it happen, given it had been so long. And in Jürgen's first press conference, he just says, you know, give us the time to do what we need to do. And if you do that, if you can be patient with us, we'll deliver. And they've absolutely delivered. And then some, to be honest. It's been Philwell talks about the 2 years there, and it has been 2 years in the making. And it feels like longer for us, because we've obviously lived and breathed the last 30 years, so many of us have. But for these players, for this manager, you know, it's been, you know, 2 years in the making. You know, Jürgen, obviously a little bit longer, because he came obviously 2015. So for him, you know, it won't quite feel maybe like it does for us, where it's been such a long time. But I think he said before in his press conference, this will be one of the biggest moments, one of the best moments that he's ever experienced. And he's managed clubs, as he alluded to, with loads of emotion attached to them. None more so than this football club. And I get what the lads are saying about it being a huge moment, whether you're in the ground or not, and I absolutely get that, and I agree to a large extent. But there's a little bit of me that's just maybe a little bit sad that we're not there. You know, to wait so long, let's not have it. And I think Robbo made a great point. You know, let's talk about what we've got rather than what we haven't, and I'm on board with that. But at the same time, there's a little bit of me that just thinks, God, fucking hell, I wish we were in there tomorrow. I really wish we were in there tomorrow, because it feels like we deserved it. We've gone through lots of ups and lots of downs, and it's all been leading to this moment, and we don't quite get that tomorrow. But I'm sure whoever we're watching it, whoever we're with, we'll still have a fantastic time. And as Jürgen says, at some point, you know, we'll get to have that celebration together.
Yeah, and Gareth, it's been interesting, I think, I'd referenced it before, how much Jürgen has sort of changed his tune during this, well, I don't know if you want to call it a running as such, but just, you know, since it's been confirmed that we are the champions, because he says at the start of his press conference, he says, it's tough when you're already champions and there are so many other teams that are still fighting for things, which I think sort of shows you the way the mentality has been in recent weeks. And look, that's not to criticise it at all, but it's completely natural for these players to have achieved what they've achieved and have worked so hard all season to have achieved it. And then, you know, maybe just take the foot slightly off the gas and that 1-2% when there's other teams who know what they've still got to fight for are doing that.
Yeah, I mean, look, they dropped 8 points in 5 games, haven't they? And before that, they dropped 7 in 40. So, you know, you've got to put it in that context and say, you know, they're absolutely phenomenal in the Premier League in that 40-game spell. And then in this spell, look, you know, we said it before, like, you know, Jürgen loves psychology. He's got a psychologist at the club as well that he can turn to. And for me, like, I just think whatever they say and however they prepare them, there's just that missing little edge once it's done. Everyone breathes a sigh of relief, that sort of almost panic that you've got to be at the absolute level every time is slightly removed. And that's not to knock them. I almost think we can go too far with it and sort of knock them as professionals if we're not careful. I think they've tried to win every single game. I think, you know, and you saw still that it matters to them. Seeing, you know, I love the footage of Trent and Robertson walking off the pitch, giving the referee loads after Burnley about, you know, not getting a penalty and all that kind of stuff. And, like, you know, that's what I want from the players in every game that Liverpool play. That's the spirit that's there, and that's the spirit that I think will remain. And I think when there is jeopardy again, when, you know, it goes back to naught and it's reset and it's another season, you know, whenever it is, the middle of September seems to be the accepted time that it is going to return. I think then, you know, we see it again. I don't really understand why anyone thinks, you know, they might drop off a cliff or anything like that. I just don't see it. You know, they've shown over and over again how their mentality is second to none. And you see pros that are ex-pros, pros and ex-pros that who are worth listening to, reference it all the time, saying it's amazing to come back from, you know, losing a European Cup final to winning it. It's amazing to be, you know, the greatest runner-up of all time, if you like, with 97 points, and then to have the mentality to go again to try and win it. When that's, you know, it would have been so easy to feel sorry for yourself in that circumstance. But, you know, Jürgen, the rest of the staff, the psychologist, no doubt, has got in their heads and said, you know, you that was essentially a perfect season. You did everything you could. And you know, the rest you couldn't control. You couldn't control how good Manchester City were, how consistent Man City were. And, you know, you didn't disgrace yourself. So, you know, just do that again. And let's see what Manchester City do this time. And this time, Manchester City fell away. No one could keep pace with Liverpool, including Manchester City. And I just think, like, we all need to be, you know, mindful of the way things are spun these days, and not sort of get not get caught up in it. Like, we can tell our own story. We know how good our football club is. We know how good this manager is, how good this team is, how good this squad is. Let's talk it up, not talk it down. You know what I mean? And let's be ready for when we can be back in those stadiums to support them like we want to support them, and to show them how much we love them and how much we're behind them. You know, I get what Ian's saying, and I'm with him in that there is a tinge of regret, obviously, that we can't be there for this moment. But equally, I do think about all the time, how great will it be when we're back? How great will it be when we're back in the ground, when it's full again, when we can sing every single week that we're champions? You know, something we dreamed of all of this time, and we can show those boys the support that they've been missing. Imagine how that'll spur them on. Imagine the levels they can reach again then. And what I'm open for tomorrow night against Chelsea is I'm open for a performance similar to what we got against Palace. I know Palace and Chelsea are different quality-wise, but I thought against Palace, you know, you saw the Liverpool that we know and love. You saw them reach the levels that we know they can reach. And I think we would have beat anyone that night, regardless of whether it was Palace. And I think we can do that against Chelsea. I think Chelsea are undoubtedly going to give us a game. There's no two ways about that. They have got that jeopardy that I'm talking about, in that, you know, it's really, really tight for that Champions League spot between themselves, Leicester and Manchester United. So they've got that spare. They've done really well, to be fair to them, since football resumed and all that in June. You know, like, they're one of the form teams. Giroud's banging them in, and, you know, he's someone who's caused Liverpool problems in the past. So I fully expect them to come, be arriving pumped up and wanting to poop the party, if you like. But equally, I think Liverpool will be going out there saying, let's put on a show, like the world's watching. And, you know, I love the line out of Jürgen from that Palace game where he'd said to them, you know, go out there and play the best game that's ever been played behind closed doors. Like, he's got to come up with something new now. He needs a new line. But, you know, nevertheless, I think, you know, him, Linders, psychologist, everyone else, you know, it's a fairly easy sell to your players to say, go out there, put a show on, win the game, and then at the final whistle, we're having an absolute party and Jordan's going to have that trophy in his hands.
Yeah, Gareth hit the nail on the head for me there in terms of those recent results, and Jürgen references in his press conference again, talking about us being clearly the better side against Arsenal. And I think you can say that of most of the games so far. I think you'd probably have to look back as far as Everton to say that was the only game where maybe you could argue that we didn't deserve to win it. And then even so, you're still going to find some people who say, well, no, we did deserve to win it. It's just Everton had a few chances at the end. In most of these games, the City game was pretty even. City just took their chances. Burnley, we battered them. Arsenal, we battered them. You know, it's not the performances in these games which is the problem. It's just the results. And maybe, like Gareth says, it is just that sort of jeopardy being removed and it's added for those other teams.
Definitely. And, you know, I know this is kind of a bit of a tired point since kind of the whole behind closed doors thing has come about. But I think it's important to remember that, you know, we've talked about for the last 3-4 years how this Liverpool team has kind of been built with the crowd. We've seen that kind of synergy and that kind of togetherness with on and off the pitch, and how the team bounced off us and how we've kind of bounced off this team. And you know, to have that suddenly taken away, especially since after we won that league, because, you know, these final seven games should really have just been absolute parties, shouldn't they? In terms of the atmospheres that we would have seen, you know, they would have gone to Arsenal away, there would have been an away end there, absolutely, you know, having the time of their lives. The home games would have been like carnivals as well. And that all I think has an effect, because those are the things that, you know, that can push the team a little bit. And you know they're not stupid. They would have had their eye on this Chelsea game. They knew that this was the one where they would have lifted the trophy, and there is that added kind of onus on it, because you know they do want the mood to be high all the way throughout the day. And I think it's been too lazy to say that this Liverpool team have sort of just switched off. And I think we've seen a lot of pundits on TV and funnily enough, ones that have won the league, you know, ex-United players and the lot, they've been saying that, you know, it's just about getting it done. They don't, you know, no one really cares after that. It's almost like flip-flops on sort of thing. But I don't think that's the case with this team, just because, you know, you don't achieve what they've achieved with that mentality, no matter what, you know, what stage you are at of the season, no matter how many games you've kind of won and how many trophies you won. You have to have that all the way through. And, you know, the whole idea of records and all has kind of been shoved in front of us as another target. You know, it's sort of a thing of the world, really, isn't it? That once you achieve something, there has to be another thing up there that, you know, you have to get. And if you don't get that, there's a whole thing of a disappointment and everything. And, you know, we saw after the game where, you know, Liverpool couldn't get that records point total, that it was almost portrayed as a big disappointment. And suddenly everything else that's come before it is sort of taken away. And I think the manager is smart enough, the players are smart enough not to kind of pay attention to those things, because at the end of the day, no one's going to really remember, you know, the records as such, as Liverpool go on and win 3-4 league titles in the next, you know, God knows how many years. The United team didn't break, you know, all sorts of records that went on and dominated for, you know, almost a decade. And people still, you know, regard them as a great side. So I think all these distractions have sort of kind of almost blurred what this team has done and how natural it is. I had a look the other day actually at, you know, before this team, the earliest league title win was United. I think it was 2000, 2001. They won it in April some point, and they lost. I think they lost 3 out of 5 games after that. And you know that would have been a team that was hailed as one of the best at that time. So I think it's completely natural to see this. And add in the fact that they don't have the crowd to bounce off. They don't have, you know, all of us in at Anfield, you know, probably pushing them over the line against Burnley to get that second goal and nick that game 2-1. You know, take all that into account. I think they've dealt pretty well with the circumstances, because they haven't been played off the park at any stage since you know the recent run of results have happened. And you know, the Man City game, it's natural that happens against such a great side. And when you don't take your chances, it's going to happen. And everyone knows that. That's how the games have played out against them for the last 3-4 years. So I think perspective has to be kind of drawn with it all. And you know, nothing can really blur what this team's achieved and what hopefully they're going to continue to achieve.
Yeah, United can fuck off on that point, by the way. I mean, Josh, you edited it, so you will have read it, but I wrote a piece on Friday about this nonsense that, you know, there's some kind of tainted title going on because Liverpool didn't take the opportunity to be, you know, the best team ever with the most points ever and all that kind of thing. Any United fans piping up? A, they went 26 years without a title. B, they went 41 years at another point in the history. They also won the league with 75 points, for fuck's sake. They won it with 79. They won it with 80 twice. You know, they also won it with 82. Leicester won it with 81. Arsenal did it with 78. All points totals that Liverpool teams of the past have had more, you know, bettered and not won the league. So this idea that I just don't. We shouldn't buy it. We shouldn't bite. We shouldn't do anything with any of this bollocks. We know how good they are. You don't win the trophies that they've won if you're anything else. There's no fluke to it. They blew everyone away. The way they started the season, the pace they set was unbelievable, and no one could live with it. And, you know, I can remember bouncing around this flat when, you know, City were losing to Palace and things like that, you know, and these losses were adding up. They lost to Norwich, you know what I mean? They lost to all these sides, and you were thinking, fucking hell, it actually is our year. This is our fucking year. You know, stick your this is our year up your arse now, because it was our fucking year. It is our year. And now you've got, like, these United-centric writers writing about, like, some shit run of form because they beat some shit sides. And they're saying this is our year, and it's like, this is our year. Is it? Yeah, because when you play someone decent, you're out the fucking cup. Your centre-half looks like you just pulled them out the Birkenhead Sunday League, and your keeper's fucking shite. So all the best, boys, all the best, because, like, we've got the best keeper in the world and the best centre-half in the world. And I can remember, Ian definitely can remember as well, the days when you were looking at their squad and you were coveting what they had. You were like, I wish he was in our team. I wish we had him. I wish we had him. And okay, they're decent up front. Although, you know, battering a load of shite in the Europa League is not exactly the same as going for a title, by the way, or, you know, when they're comparing their front three to ours. But they've got some decent players. They've got an absolute blurt in charge. They've got shit owners, shit goalie, you know, slabhead at centre-half. And when you go through their history as well, they pissed the league loads of times with shit points totals. Where were we? That's what we should be saying. Where were we then? What took us so long? So now we're here, and now we're at the top. We're fucking staying, boys.
Yeah, and I think both the lads, what they mentioned there, are spot on in terms of, I think one of the points Fiab makes is, you know, when you wrap the league title up so early and you do it with such a runaway look, Gareth mentioned it before as well, you have to focus on what you've got. And Gareth wrote it in his column on Friday as well, that Liverpool have broke loads of records. Look, there's some records which you wanted to break. It was the carrot dangled in front of us when the league was already won, when we knew the league was won, let's go get 100 points. And that would have been nice for the players, obviously, to say, so they could say we're the greatest team in Premier League history. But at the end of the day, let's focus on what we have got. And we've got a fuckload of records and we've got the best team in the world.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I think the points thing, I think it might have been Craig on the weekend, the show, said recently, you know, at the beginning of the season, no one's talking about, oh, you know what, it'd be great if we did a points record. No one's asked. No one gives a fuck about points. It's about getting over the line and winning the trophies. That's what matters. And I think, you know, Gareth's talked a little bit about United there, but I think even Roy Keane himself said on a Monday Night Football with Carragher, there's no points total on the back of your medal. You know what I mean? It's about, you know, getting over the line and winning it. I know Robbo's talked about some low points totals there. I think, you know, it's fine to reference some of that in the context that Gareth's speaking about, but it is literally about just winning the big silver thing, and Liverpool have done that. And yes, it's nice to have kind of, you know, records that sit alongside it. We've got a few, by the way, already. Don't worry about that. The points thing, listen, Man City will go on about it because it's something that they can say they've done, but it ain't keeping me up at night. I'm not giving it another thought. And I think in terms of tomorrow's game, you know, there's no pressure on Liverpool. You know, not that there would have been, but I think one or two would have been maybe looking at the points and thinking, oh, we're not far away from getting it. You know, if we got the results in previous games and it was still a thing, then maybe there would be a little bit more pressure to go and do that. Because it seems to have become a thing, certainly in the media. But now they can just go and enjoy it, Josh. They deserve to enjoy it. Go and express yourselves, you know, enjoy the moments. You know, these don't come along that often. You know, you hope this Liverpool team gets to create a bit of a dynasty and go and win a number of titles. But it's not fucking easy to do it because, you know, we've seen other great sides in the Premier League where I've thought, well, they're going to dominate forever because they're so good. They're backed by, you know, billionaires. They're never going to not win another title. You know, they're going to keep winning and winning and winning. And it's not easy to do it. But I think we've got a group of players that, to me, still look incredibly hungry. I think, you know, it's been touched on the mentality thing, and one of the best things Jürgen's done is create a mentality that just, it feels unrivaled, to be honest. It's not a mentality I've really seen in many other teams. I mean, the 97-point thing gets bandied around a lot and how they've recovered from that. But I think it's worth mentioning loads because it was such a big thing. You know, I remember doing shows after that season. I think Robbo may have been on a couple of them as well. And I genuinely worried about whether they could come back from that because if you don't win it with 97 points, what the fuck have you got to do to go and win a title? It doesn't seem fair. It just felt so incredibly harsh at the end of that season. And whatever we were feeling at the time, imagine what the players were feeling, you know, to put that effort in, to put such intensity in, the manager, what he's gone through with them, how they're prepared, and to come that close, but yet galvanise yourselves to go and win a European Cup, and not only win a European Cup, but then go on this run where they've absolutely smashed everyone to bits and they've gone and won a league title. It's the mentality is just ridiculous. You know, go through the history of football and you'll struggle to find a team, for me, with as much mental strength as some of these boys have shown. And all this going on whilst we've got this ridiculous health crisis smack bang in the middle of the season. No fans in stadiums. I mean, you know, what they've had to deal with, what they've had to probably think about. You know, it got touched on the show the other day. You know, when these players have got all that time off, Well, it's not time off, is it? Because it's time when they should be doing what they love doing. It's time where they should be celebrating with their own families, winning football matches, having the league put to bed ages ago. And they were denied that. And, you know, that's testament to their character. Yes, they've come back and suffered a few poor results. But as Jürgen mentioned, the league was done. We knew it was done. It's been done for me for a long, long time. And Robbo mentioned it before. We're going to do some shows around when we felt there was really big moments in the season. But this league's been done a long, long time ago. We knew it. All the fans of other clubs knew it. All the managers knew it. Pep knew it a long time ago. He knew his boys couldn't compete with this Liverpool team this season. Mentally, they looked a little bit burnt out. And that's one of the things we've got to not guard against, because I think it's difficult to say you're going to guard against it, but it's one of the things you've got to bear in mind next season. You know, you've that ability to go again, but we've got the best in the business in terms of manager in charge of this team to make those players want to go again. And I think we get a chance to see these boys again at Anfield. You know, go and get another victory, do it in style, and then they get the moments, and we all get that moment at the end.
We've beaten every side in the league. You know, we've beaten every side in the league this season. So, like, there is absolutely nothing to fear. And, like, I understand that people might look at transfers that other teams are doing, and there's rumours now of City are going to go and blow a fortune because of what's happened with the court ruling and things like that. Well, they need to go and blow a fortune, don't they? Because they need to catch up. They've lost 9 games in the league. I mean, you know, Liverpool have taken 41 points away from home this season, and City have taken 31. They've lost 7 away from home, and they've lost 2 at home. Liverpool unbeaten at home, and have lost 3 on the road. But, you know, some with the foot off the gas, as we're all saying, even if it's only a tiny bit. So I kind of think, like, the sort of trope around, you know, yeah, but you won't be able to do it again. Well, one, enjoy this moment first before you start even thinking about that. But two, says who and says why? Because, you know, take a look at the stats of literally, you know, you don't have to dig too much. Just look at the league table, look at who City have lost to this season, and tell me why all of a sudden they're going to go unbeaten next season, because I'm not seeing it.
Yeah, Phil, Adam, Gareth and Ian have both touched on it there in terms of expressing ourselves with the sort of small matter of a game happening tomorrow evening amid everything else. I'm interested to see what sort of team Jürgen puts out. I was surprised, to be honest, in the Arsenal game to not see Naby Keita. Probably slightly surprised to see Oxlade-Chamberlain in his place. I'd imagine that would maybe be the one switch that he'd go for.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's the one I would do. Even though that doesn't mean much, but yeah, I think I would go for Keita in that midfield and go full strength. I don't think we're going to see kind of any the likes of Curtis Jones getting chucked in or Nico Williams. I think it is very much full strength and go show this Chelsea team, because, you know, I think we've touched on it before as well in the previous shows about how, you know, some of these games may be a little bit of a look into next season depending on how quickly it comes and you know, building that kind of momentum and rhythm for the next season. I think, you know, Chelsea are one of them that everyone's talking about as a team that, you know, looks like they can push on a little bit, you know, given how they've done this season and the young players and the players coming in as well. And, you know, other players that they seem to be linked with and they've clearly got money to spend. So I think they're one that are going to be trying to really push up next season. And if we can kind of, you know, not necessarily lay down a statement, but, you know, we can go there and show them, because we have had close games against them this season. I think, you know, the Super Cup was a tight game, that the away game was tight as well, and you know, they beat us in the FA Cup as well. So, you know, there is a little bit of a rivalry this season in terms of on the pitch that's been going on. So I think we can, you know, clearly lay down a bit of a marker on them and expose the youth a little bit in that team and show them that they do have a long way to go still. I think it all helps for next season. I think the players will be equally hungry to do that, because, you know, they know that they've had a couple of disappointing results against them, and you know, they want to knock them off the high they're on at the moment after getting to the FA Cup final. So I think it's full strength and it's about getting that win just in any way possible, really.
Yeah, Ryan, I'm with Fuad on the full strength shout. And I think Jürgen's the sort of manager who, off the back of the Arsenal result, and if you're saying that's, you know, probably as close as it possibly can get to our full strength team, obviously, you know, without Jordan Henderson in there, I think he'd want them to go again and give themselves a chance to prove, well, look, it wasn't a bad performance, but it was a bad result, and we'll go and put it right with this one.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with Phil Redshaw there. I think it might just be Keita, and then the rest of the lads are the lads that you probably expect. It's a shame for Henderson because he'll get to have that moment where he lifts the trophy, and that's the be all and end all. But he would have loved to have let them out. It's a bit of a shame. He had a great season on the pitch, off the pitch, and he just probably. Well, you know, he knew probably about it. He deserved to lead them out tomorrow night and have that 90 minutes. But he still gets to lift it, and that's the most important thing. And I think, you know, it'll be nice for... I couldn't really see Jürgen doing much with the team because I almost feel like he'll want to give the lads who've been such a big part in the last 12 months, 2 years, their time on the pitch, you know, their moments. You know, there's lots of people who've contributed to the season who won't be starting tomorrow, but I just really couldn't see him, you know, leaving out any of his main lads, any of his big hitters, because they deserve to start. It's a big game as well, and I think, you know, Chelsea are going to be taking it very seriously. I was quite impressed with them against United, albeit it was two teams that maybe had made a couple of changes given the league congestion, but Chelsea were good. They tweaked the system, they gone three at the back, they left out a couple of good players as well. Pulisic has had a really good couple of months, certainly since the restart, he's looked dangerous. I agree with Bobo. Giroud's a pain in the arse when you play against them. He really is. He causes Liverpool no end of trouble. Still a very good footballer, even at the age he is. Surprised it took Chelsea so long to start using him again, if I'm being honest. But now they are using him. He's a threat. And I think, you know, listen, if you get beat tomorrow, again, it ain't the end of the world. You know, I've not been someone who's taken these defeats badly. I know I want to win every game, of course, we all do, but you've got to look at it in the context that it's in. It's in a season where Liverpool have won the league. You know, if any group of players deserve to be cut a little bit of slack, it's this group of players. And maybe it's different conversations if you start badly next season, but right now I'm not going to hold defeats against this group of lads, this manager. If they get beat, they get beat. They've done what we wanted them to do, which is go and win the league title. You can't really ask for any more. I think because social media is around now, it's a different environment, and you're going to get these type of reactions to games where you don't win. But for me, I really, really couldn't care less, to be honest. And some people won't agree with that, and I get it because I always want to win the game. And in the moment, I'm as loud and as vociferous as anyone whilst the game's going on. But once it finishes, and we haven't won it in this current context, in this climate where Liverpool have won the league, I'm over it in a heartbeat because. These lads have been fucking phenomenal for such a long time. They're entitled, all of them, mentally, physically, just probably to drop below their normal standard. It's just natural. I don't think anyone can be blamed for doing that. You know, look at the lads in the last game. You know, it's Virgil and Alisson. You know, two of the best players in the league, two of the best players in Europe, two of the best players in the world, and they've just had moments where they've switched off. Virgil's never making that mistake in a normal environment. And that's a game that matters. That's a game where you're winning the league title. He's not making that mistake. But he's probably just thought, well, he probably hasn't thought. It's just a natural thing where it's just happened. And like I said, it's been on the spot and he's done really well. Well, I think tomorrow, Jürgen, the way he talked, I think he expected a performance and he expected the team to be fired up. I think they'll want to go and they're going to want to show people why they are champions of England. They did it against Crystal Palace. I agree with Robbo. It was a phenomenal performance that night. I'm expecting something. I'm hoping for something a little bit similar tomorrow as well. And I do fancy Liverpool to edge in.
And Robbo, we know we're getting the trophy tomorrow. I don't know what Jürgen's going to do in terms of his shout about making sure that everyone who deserves a medal gets one, but we've got Curtis Jones currently sitting on 4 appearances, 1 Premier League appearance away from being able to get his medal. He's just changed his number to number 17 recently, which obviously holds some significance for us as Liverpool fans. For yourself, as somebody from Highton as well, I think there was a young lad from Highton who used to wear 17. I think it'd be quite nice, not necessarily in this game, but maybe in the Newcastle game for him to get his run out and to be able to get that Premier League medal.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he will as well. I think he will be.
Can't believe your impression, Bobo.
What?
Can't believe you didn't do your impression.
Yeah, of course.
What a win that was then.
I thought you meant the Gerrard one. What a win that would be then. But yeah, I think you will see it. You will see him at some point. Possibly not tomorrow night, as you say, because it just feels like. It feels like, you know, tomorrow night you can build it up into almost like, you know, the cup final type type moment and a big game. And I think if there is something to sort of look at in Chelsea's form, it's maybe that game where they go to Sheffield United and they're defeated quite comfortably there. If you think about how Sheffield United play and how they make it awkward for you and how they don't let you play, that's kind of what Liverpool do as well at the best. As well as being brilliant at the other end of the pitch, they stop you from playing, they stop you from building, they stop you from doing the nice stuff that we know Chelsea are capable of. And, you know, Phil, I've mentioned the FA Cup defeat before. I think that annoyed all of us. But equally, at the same time, we'd be like, well, look at the team we put out that day. So, you know, there's all little things that I feel like they can sow into the players' heads to get them in the right place for tomorrow night, not least that there's a trophy at the end of it. But yeah, in terms of getting as many lads a medal, I'm sure that will be in Klopp's mind because, you know, he was pretty forthright there, I thought, in the press conference and about, you know, that, do you want to get this done? Do you want to get the trophy lifted? But then if unofficially he can do one or two lads a favour at Newcastle, I think he will. I think he will because I think he's that type of fella. And he's talking about, isn't he, you know, setting up a little factory in the back of his gaff and making a load of his own Premier League medals for the lads who don't officially get one as well. So he'll do something. You know, I think what we've always got to remember about our manager is he's fundamentally sound. And when you've got someone fundamentally sound at the top of your organisation, then the likelihood is you go places and we're in them. We're at that place.
We're in the places. And Fuad, we'll round it off then with our predictions for the game. Not, you know, not that it really matters that much. We're lifting the Premier League trophy after it, but we'll go for it anyway.
I mean, since it doesn't matter, that I'm going to say 6-1.
Really good. Ian?
Fucking hell. 6-1, eh? Fun fucking night tomorrow. I think it might be close. I don't think I've got many of these right this season, to be fair. I'm going to go 2-1 to the Reds.
What's your prediction for how many rums you're going to drink, Ian?
No, lad, honestly, you could see the fucking shit.
6-1.
And then Robbo, your prediction for the game, or for how many rums you're going to drink, or just how lashed you're going to get generally?
Do you know what? I was thinking I might have a run, but I've got to be up. I've got to be at St. George's Hall for 10 bells on Thursday, thanks to Neil Atkinson's schedule in there. But yeah, I'm going to say 2-0 to the Reds. I think it will be a tough game, but I think the Reds will be on it. We also fancy Bobby to score, so we can stop talking about this season where he doesn't score at home in the Premier League. He's due one. So yeah, goal for Bobby, 2-0 to the Reds, big trophy. Big hangover up the fucking Reds.
Yeah, I'm having absolutely every bit of that. I'm going to go with 2-0 as well. A goal for Bobby. It's the one we've all been waiting for. Some of us our whole lives, some of us 30 years. But the league title is Liverpool's and we're lifting it tomorrow night. Enjoy it.